radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. And all Renegades, I'm going to need you to the trenches. You've been monitoring. You knew something was coming when I gave the orders just the other day that the trenches would be alive. And man, 24 hours a day, I was not effing around with you. You know us as the best pregame alternative, but what if we were the best postgame alternative? What if we were the best, just the best damn hockey show that you had ever heard? Well, that's what we are, and that's exactly why we are here. We are the Renegades of Puck. Welcome into the trenches. And welcome into Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. Against all better judgment, WNSR has given us a code to the building, a key to the building, and also the power to use this board, and we're going to do that whenever we feel the need to. It is, in fact, the Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier, and when I asked for hands to go up and volunteers from the Renegades of Puck for a midnight raid, every single one of them went up. It brought a tear to this captain's eye to see every one of them raise their hand. So the ultimate one will be in the bring you all the hype before the end of the first period. Mastrodamus will break down what happened in between the pipes between the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and also preview what's going to happen with the Dallas Stars. SCSOTF. That's right. Sean C. Smith is in the trenches. Brian Bastin got you one big stat, and me, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Zani. Thank you so much for jumping in the trenches with us. Though you did not expect it, now that you are here, it doesn't matter where you're headed to or where you were coming from. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck, and we're going to take you for a full 60 to all the hard areas and deliver the goods like nobody else can. WNSR.com streams this show completely for free, so make sure you're checking them out. WNSR.com also gives you access to our archives, well over 500 episodes. You can go back, you can check our work. We've been doing it for 10 years now, and this radio station's been doing it for well over 20. That's why we would appreciate if you would support them. Also, download the WNSR app. Take the show with you anywhere in this entire universe. Make sure you're listening to the Renegades of Puck and monitoring the trenches each and every day by downloading that WNSR app. Out there as you're heading to or from wherever you're going across the Music City and all throughout Middle Tennessee, 560 AM and 95.9 FM, beaming this radio show to you completely for free. Yet again, this radio station's one great partner when they give everything to you for free. All we ask is your listenership, your clicks, and a little bit of support on social media. 107.9 FM is helping you get on out of Nashville, down through Smyrna, into the borough. And 103.9 Drakesboro, Kentucky is helping stream us and simulcast us live down into Clarksville and helping us get over into Bowling Green. A lot of options to listen to the show, so we would appreciate if you would do just that. Jump in the trenches with us live at 5 on game days, or whatever it is that we feel like taking over this radio station. And with what happened at Bridgestone Arena tonight, the Renegades of Puck all decided to raise their hands and jump in the trenches for a midnight raid to talk all things Nashville Predators hockey. Today, as we sit in the trenches to begin your Sunday morning, the Nashville Predators are in fourth place in the Central Division. They still hold on to a playoff spot after 42 games played, and they have 14 games remaining on the season. Eight of them come on home ice at Bridgestone Arena. Six of them will come on the road. Out of those eight at home, one of them will be tonight against the Dallas Stars, and of course, we'll recap one of them that happened just last night against Tampa Bay. After the Nashville Predators Predators take care of the Dallas Stars on Sunday evening. Tuesday evening, the Tampa Bay Lightning will be back in town. I don't think that they'll be going anywhere between tonight and Tuesday night, but they will be playing the Nashville Predators again on Tuesday for Tampa. That will be their next game, and the Preds, of course, will be playing the Stars in between Thursday and Saturday of next week at Carolina. Two of the four remaining games against the Canes, and on the 19th, that begins a three-game set against the Chicago Blackhawks. The first at Bridgestone Arena, the second two are in Chicago. That could be one of the most critical stretches of hockey for this Nashville Predators coming down the stretch as we head into playoff madness territory. Your Nashville Predators have 45 points after 42 games played. They have a record of 22-19-1, and tonight's opponent is in sixth place. The Dallas Stars have played three less games than the Nashville Predators. They've skated 39 times. They have a record of 15-14-10. They have 40 points. They are 5 points behind the Nashville Predators, but those three games in hand are certainly of a concern. If the Dallas Stars were to sweep all three of those games that they have in hand over the Nashville Predators, that would put them 1 point ahead of the Preds, but that is something we will have to calculate, tabulate, and follow along as we go. In between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars is the Chicago Blackhawks, sitting at 43 points. So the Nashville Predators have been able to hold on to a playoff position now for two consecutive weeks, and they look to continue fending off the pack that is below. Tonight in the Central Division, we saw a little bit of an uprising from the bottom teams. It was Dallas beating Florida 4-1, Detroit over Carolina 5-4 in the shootout, and Chicago defeated Columbus, thankfully, in regulation 4-3. Of course, the Nashville Predators will take on the Dallas Stars on Sunday evening at Bridgestone Arena, and then Monday in the Central, we'll see Detroit start a set at Carolina, and Chicago play a couple games against the Columbus Blue Jackets. That gets you all set up for the division race. Now, let's talk about the season series between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. Wow, it's been a complicated one, hasn't it? But we go all the way back to the 22nd of January, and it was the Dallas Stars blowing out the Nashville Predators 7-0 in the first meeting of the season. Dallas had 5 power play goals, and it was right off and Pavelski absolutely leading the charge. 2 goals each for those players. They followed that up on the 24th by losing 3-2 in Dallas. UC Saros took the loss, making 19 saves. Forsberg and Granlund got your goals. And Hudobin had a very light night in net. Only 15 saves on 17 shots against. Because of ice storms, because of power outages, because of all kinds of complications in the scheduling, the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars would not meet again until March the 7th. The Predators would be playing much better hockey by then, or at least beginning to play better hockey, as it was the beginning of that very lengthy road trip from hell. And it was also a 4-3 victory in the shootout for the Nashville Predators, with Rene getting the victory in 35 saves. And we all remember the stick save that he made in the shootout on that one. Highlight season reel right there. Granlund, Yarncroke, Tolvanen each with a goal in that game. Then on the 21st, the Predators ended that road trip in Dallas yet again, and the same result, a 4-3 final in the shootout. Rene with the win in this one, 27 out of 30. Forsberg, Johansson, Tolvanen got the goals, and it was Yarncroke with the shootout game winner. So the Nashville Predators were able to even up the season series at 2 apiece. Then we'd come back to Bridgestone Arena, actually come to Bridgestone Arena for the first time on the season on the 30th of March, and it was the Preds defeating Dallas in overtime by a score of 3-2. UC Saros, 33 saves in the victory. Yarncroke and Tolvanen scoring goals in that game. The Preds would follow up with a loss to the Dallas Stars on April the 1st, 4-1. Saros takes the loss. Sisson gets the only goal. So on the season, after 6 games played between these two teams, the Predators and the Dallas Stars are 3-3, and the Preds have managed to pick up 6 out of a total 12 points against the Dallas Stars. But the Preds have been outscored by Dallas 22-14. After this game against Dallas on Sunday evening, the Nashville Predators will face off against the Stars one more time at Bridgestone Arena. That won't take place until May the 1st. When you look at the injuries for this Nashville Predators, it continues to be the dominant story, as now we find out that Olivier is going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. Forsberg and Duchesne and now Tolvanen continue to be out of the lineup. Good news on the defensive side of things, and a great surprise and a great boost for the Nashville Predators team and for the fans, as Ryan Ellis was able to come off of IR and then slide right back into the lineup, and we'll talk about it. Thought he looked very good considering the amount of time that he was out of the lineup. So at least for a brief moment, good news on the injury front that Ellis is back in, but Fabro, Carrier, Borowiecki still out on the defensive side of things, at least as far as your main roster players. I'm not going to try to list all of the injuries on the team because that would just look like a hospital printout at the end of a week. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we've seen how many injuries this team is dealing with and what they're overcoming and how good hockey they're playing despite the number of man games that they are missing. It's highly impressive stuff by this Nashville Predators team. Taking a look at the opponent for the Nashville Predators, the next opponent is the Dallas Stars. Their previous five games, down the 4-3, they picked up a 3-2 win at Carolina. Then they lost the follow-up the next day, 1-0 at Carolina. Then a two-game set at Chicago. They lose the first game 4-2 and win the second game 5-1. On Saturday, though, the Dallas Stars would defeat the Florida Panthers 4-1. Hudobin was 20 out of 21 in the win. Robertson, another two goals in this game, and he is making his case for the Calder. We've seen him enough times. He has been a bit of a nightmare for the Predators in the recent games that they have faced off against him. He picked up two more goals last night, and the Dallas Stars pick up the win versus the Florida Panthers. So the Dallas Stars now travel into Nashville, and they will take on the Preds for a standalone game, and then they will head out Tuesday and Thursday. We'll take on the Florida Panthers again. Taking a look inside the numbers between these two Central Division rivals, goals for the Nashville Predators, 2.50 is 27th in the NHL. Goals against the 2.83 is 16th in the league. Shots for the Preds generate 30.3. That's good for 10th. Shots against is 31st. That is 19th. Special teams, the power play for the Nashville Predators right in the middle of the pack at 15th in the NHL. They've scored 25 times on 122 opportunities. They've converted on 20.5% of their power plays. And on the penalty kill, the Preds have actually moved up now to 28th by percentage at 74.4%. And because of the good play recently on the penalty kill unit, the gap is closing between the most power play goals given up and the rest of the pack. The Preds have given up the most in the NHL at 34. The Dallas numbers do not look highly impressive, but when you look at their goals against and you look at their shots against, they are really making something happen out there. They are strangling teams and slowing things down and just giving up virtually nothing. Goals for 2.77 at 17th. Not that impressive by Dallas, but that goals against 2.46 is 6th. The shots against 27.6 is 3rd. The power play is 25.8%. That's good for 4th best in the NHL. The Preds have helped out with that this season. 31 out of 120, and their penalty kill has given up 25 power play goals against, and that is 19th. We mentioned throughout the regular season series that the Dallas Stars have limited the Nashville Predators in shots a number of those games, and that's what they look to do. If you ever flip on a Dallas Stars game randomly and you're like, let me see what's going on, I'm almost always shocked to see how few shots the opponent has against Dallas. Taking a look inside the statistics for the Nashville Predators, Forsberg, unfortunately, still injured. 34 games skated, still leads the team in scoring with 29 points. Roman Josi, the leader that is actually skating right now, 35 games, played 4 goals and 20 assists. That's good for 24 points overall. 13 of his 24 points come on the power play. When it comes to the netminders for the Nashville Predators, UC Saros expected to get the start against the Dallas Stars. He skated in 23 games. He's 13-7 with a 2.19 goals against average and a .930 save percentage. And after last night's loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning, Pekka-Rinne is 9-12-1 on the season, a 2.97 goals against average and a .902 save percentage. When you talk about the Dallas Stars being paced right now by Joe Pavelski, 39 games skated, 15 goals, 22 assists, 37 points, and he's always played extremely good against the Nashville Predators. 11 power play goals, so 11 of his 15 total goals come on the power play, and 19 of his total 37 points come on the power play. Roope Hintz skated in 28 games this season, 12 goals and 18 assists for 30 points. Robertson, after 34 games, 11 goals and 16 assists for 27 points, and he gets the job done mostly at even strength. Only one power play goal out of his 11 on the season. Klingberg, 25 points, 19 of those are assists. And of course, Jamie Benn, usually a nuisance for Nashville Predators, he has 21 points on the season. In net for the Dallas Stars, Anton Hudobin has had very good success against this Nashville Predators team over his short career. He's got a record of 9-9-4 on the season, a 2.34 goals against and a .914 save percentage. Jake Ottinger, which we have seen him face the Nashville Predators so far this season, he skated in 20 games, almost an even split between Hudobin and Ottinger this season. 6-5-6, a 2.29 goals against and a .917 save percentage. With Hudobin going last night, we expect to see Ottinger versus Saros Sunday night at Bridgestone Arena. Let's go back and recap everything that we saw at Bridgestone Arena with the Nashville Predators in their one game against Tampa Bay. Again, they'll face off against Dallas, then they'll close out the regular season series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Going into the game, with the amount of injuries, it's just been a different combination every night. So let me give them to you. Grimaldi, Johansson, and Arvidsson will make up your first line. Yarncroak, Granlund, and Cunningham your second. Pitlick back into the lineup for your Nashville Predators with Holla and Cousins on the third. Trenton Brennan Sissons, and McCarron makes his return to the lineup for the Predators on the fourth line. Yossi and Benning Ekholm and a returning Ryan Ellis, Davies and Harper. Pekka Rinne also a return to the traditional 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, 1 goaltender set up for the Nashville Predators. We're just 26 seconds into this game against Tampa Bay, and it's Kelly-Arne Crook and Mikael Granlund with a 2-on-1. Granlund, though, cannot beat Vasilevskiy, the D. Good job on the support right there to make sure that there was no good, clean rebound scoring opportunity. It's 6:05 the first period. Pekka Rinne comes up with the first save of the game, and it's on Johansson. But unfortunately, at 6:45, Colton, great. Tampa Bay's found another dynamic, young, gifted offensive player. Wonderful news for everybody. Colton picks up his 7th goal of the season. Tampa Bay has a 1-0 lead early in the first period. It was off the rush and Gord to Colton. He cuts across 5-hole, and he made it look pretty easy against Pekka Rinne. It's 7:57 of the first period. Vasilevskiy comes up with a save on Pitlick's deflection at close range, plus a rebound opportunity. 3 minutes later, at 10:57, Sissons' backhand attempt to stop by Vasilevskiy. 13:50, Vasilevskiy stop on Grimaldi off of the rush. The Preds have 11 shots on goal at this point in the first period, and you're going to continue hearing that name, Vasilevskiy, a whole lot. At the 14-minute mark, Benning gets a long shot. Grimaldi cannot finish on the rebound, and Tampa Bay is able to avoid a Nashville Predators goal right here. 15:37, Rem Pitlick builds a wall and goes with speed to the net. He gets a great scoring chance here. We see a Nashville Predators power play at 17:25 as Johnson is off to the box, 2 minutes for interference. Yossi's got the shot. Johansson has the rebound jam, but there is no beating Vasilevskiy. Grimaldi gets a shot a little bit later in the power play. It redirects off the D, and what does Vasilevskiy do? Reacts to it, dives backwards, and gets just enough of the glove on it to push it out of harm's way, preventing a goal for the Nashville Predators. Maybe one of the best 20 minutes the Nashville Predators have played all season long. Damn unfortunate to find them down 1-0 at the end of the first period, but after that goal, an absolute incredible great response by the home team, and if that barn was full tonight, people would have been absolutely jumping at the end of this first period. Preds down by 1, but out shooting Tampa Bay 18-5 and playing very strong complimentary hockey. As a matter of fact, throughout the first period, the four lines were indecipherable. They were just rolling. They would come out and just continue the play one line by one line by one line. It didn't matter who was on the ice. They all had the same exact style. They all had the same exact form, and they all had the same exact mission, and everybody on that Nashville Predators team was playing great. It's just that Vasilevskiy was playing a little bit better. 1:27 of the second period, Pekka Rinne comes up with a save on Johnson after a turnover by the D exiting the zone, and this shot gets deflected off of the D. This is really an underrated save by Pekka Rinne. Great job here. 2:37, Rinne comes up with a pad save on Killorn, kicking the leg out. 3:53, Cunning's backhander after a drive along the goal line, stopped by Vasilevskiy at 3:58. It looks like the Nashville Predators have tied this thing up on a goal by returning defenseman Ryan Ellis. It was a long shot. It went off the D in front, but it was challenged for offsides, and after a review, it was determined that Ryan Ellis was actually offsides by just a little bit, but there was a clear look at it. He was offsides. It was ruled offsides. The goal was taken off the board. Tampa Bay still holds a 1-0 lead, but the Nashville Predators would continue the play that they had in the first period and up to this point in the second period. At 7:29, Arvidsson steals the puck and he beats the D to the net, but he can't tuck it in at the far post. Needed just another inch or two of real estate on the ice to finish this one off, but he just couldn't. But a great job by Victor Arvidsson, also building a wall like Pitlick did earlier. 9:17, here's Pitlick, and he's got a shot from the low circle. Vasilevskiy is just in a zone in this game. 10:05, Cunning hits the post. At 13:36, Rinne comes up with a save on a one-timer at the end of some sustained pressure by the Tampa Bay Lightning. He makes 3 quality saves on this shift for the Nashville Predators. At 14:04, though, Cernak's going to score for Tampa Bay. He's going to be awarded his 2nd goal of the season. It was a shot off of Ellis and into the net. Another tough redirect off of a Nashville Predators defenseman and into the net. Tampa Bay now holds a 2-0 lead at Bridgestone Arena, even though they have been largely outplayed and largely outshot throughout this entire game. 16:08, Hedman's off to the box, 2 minutes for interference. Rem Pitlick doing another great job earning a power play for the Nashville Predators. The captain, Roman Yossi, would get a good look in a one-timer, but that would be all for that Predators power play. 18th 1836. Cousins goes to the net for a rebound and causes a bit of a ruckus. I like this right here. Why not? There hadn't been a whistle yet. You go to the net until they blow the whistle. He got under the skin of the Tampa Bay Lightning just a little bit right here, and I really like that play right here. Maybe a little bit of a nuanced play, but it was a big play to me. 1857 in the second, Vasilevsky, another save on another deflection. Tampa Bay closing the shot gap and adding to their lead. Now Tampa Bay leads 2-0 after two. Preds still out shooting Tampa Bay, but now only 26-20. So Tampa Bay with 15 shots on goal in the second period. Preds looking to make a big comeback on home ice. We go to the third period. 3:09, Pekarinne comes up with a save on Killorn with the glove. 5:02, Ekholm's off to the box, 2 minutes for holding the stick. Holla can't finish on the shorthand to 2-on-1. This was a great opportunity for the Nashville Predators. Rinne makes a save on the point shot plus Killorn's rebound. This was another good save and great rebound jam opportunity for Tampa Bay, but Pekarinne is able to come off strong with it. 7:10, Rinne comes with a glove save on Maroon, keeping the Nashville Predators within reach. It's 7:42, Hedman's off to the box, 2 minutes for holding, and the Preds are going to get themselves not opportunity on the power play. Grimaldi's going to get a shot from the slot, but unfortunately we're about to see a sequence of special teams play as Cousins now picks up a 2 minute penalty for tripping. We see a 4-on-4 for 23 seconds leading to a Tampa Bay power play for 1:37, and then Sissons picks up a penalty 2 minutes for slashing, a 5-on-3 now for 1:23. Pekarinen comes up with a glove save on Sergachev. That causes a little bit of a scrum as he stands around and stares at Rene just a little bit too long. And again, I like the fact the Predators were clearing players away from the crease. The Preds were able to kill off this 5-on-3. Good job by that penalty kill unit. Listen, that is the Tampa Bay Lightning, and statistically and skill and all of that stuff, they should have scored on this 5-on-3, and the Predators were able to prevent that. So great job by the penalty kill unit, who has been very strong as of late. 12:33, Vasilevskiy comes up with a poke check on Arvidsson's good scoring opportunity. 15:39, we see a very large get-together. Yarncroke, Ekholm, Josi, all involved, and the Nashville Predators might be David, but they're not backing down for a damn second from Goliath out there, and I love every second of seeing this. Love seeing the captain get in there, and I love Cali Yarncroke causing a little bit of a disturbance as a team. The Nashville Predators were not backing down from the champs and not backing down from a team that could be their potential first round playoff best of seven opponent. We hit the empty net at 2:27. Gord's able to finish this thing off with an empty net goal. 3-0 for Tampa Bay. We would have one more situation at 19:38. McCarron picks up a match penalty. He went head hunting. He made head contact. It was definitely a dirty hit. It's probably going to lead to a suspension for McCarron going forward. So I anticipate that the Nashville Predators will probably be down another forward by tomorrow before the game starts. For McCarron, that's a dirty play. I don't advocate for that. Being rough, being physical, sending a message, wanting to get under the skin of the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 7th of 8 regular season games before a potential 7-game playoff series coming up. I understand all of those things, but there are ways to go about it. There are ways to do it, and this was not the way to do it. You're going to get suspended. You deserve to get suspended for that. We don't need to see that here in Nashville. That takes care of everything that happened between the Nashville Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning at Bridgestone Arena last night. You've also gotten all set up, and we've gotten through the introduction for everything that's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. Now, you'll start hearing from the Renegades of Puck. Nostradamus will come up in the second period, break down everything that happened between the pipes in that game, between the Preds and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and preview everything with the Dallas Stars. I got to ask Nostradamus about that performance by Vasilevskiy. You saw two Vezina winners going up against each other head-to-head last night, and only a total of 2 goals going in. Highly impressive stuff. Good goaltending on both ends. Vasilevskiy just better last night. But Pekarinen put up one hell of a performance for that Nashville Predators team. Then Sean C. Smith's got a lot of thoughts and some intel. He was talking to the head coach after the game. I want to find out exactly what he knows. And Brian Baston's going to wrap things up for the show with one big stat. But you know, before we end the first period, we always talk to the ultimate one. So here is the ultimate Predator.
All right, look, Nation. Fellow Renegades. Prednecks. Fans all, you're gonna struggle against Tampa Bay. Half the league is gonna struggle against Tampa Bay. 3/4 of the league. Look, they're the defending champs for a reason, okay? But let me tell you something here. Let me just clue you in a little bit. Yes, we got blanked. But we did everything you could possibly do except score. Yeah, statistical wins don't matter. Moral victories, blah, blah, blah. All we got to do is figure out a way to beat Vasi. And that's what the entire rest of the league is trying to figure out. Not to mention the fact that they got waxed a couple of nights ago by Detroit, so they were already playing angry. And then we had to step in and become their next victim. It's Tampa Bay. They're gonna struggle against Tampa Bay. Everybody does. But you played with heart. And you play with grit. And the fans, they notice that. We notice that. That there's heart. And if anybody showed heart tonight, Rem Pitlick, my God, he hit everything but the goal. Rein it in a little bit, aim that shot just a little better, and the tide of this game changes so dramatically. If it wasn't for a world-beating goalie in Vasi, this team could have taken Tampa to the mat. 1, 2, 3. We are still on a roll, Predneck Nation. We are still on a roll. Renegades, we can do this. I still have that feeling in my gut, in my soul. I still have a passion and a hunger, and I know that this team and these fans can remain steadfast and feed us more.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
Hi, this is Pekarin of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Science of Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. That's right. We've got the key. We know the code. And we know exactly what we're doing when it comes to taking over this radio station. Usually the best alternative pregame show. Maybe we're the best alternative postgame show, and maybe we're just the best show, period. Jump in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. You heard the promo live at 5 on game days. And also support our fantastic partners, Rebirth Sports. We certainly do appreciate everything that they're doing for us. They don't even know that they're jumping in the trenches yet. They've signed up for an incredible partnership with us, and we look forward to bringing you more and more information and detail about them. But for now, just make sure you're giving them some support. Rebirth Sports, very easy to find. They make some great gear, and they're making something incredible and unique for us here at Predneck Nation Radio. I can't wait to be surprising everybody with those brand new jerseys that are going to be coming out very soon. Here to talk to you about all things Nashville Predators hockey is starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. That's at GreekGoalie35. He's a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. But first, he's going to go back and recap and give you some info, analysis, and opinions on all things between the Preds and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mostradamus, good morning. How are you?
Morning indeed, Charlie.
It sure is. Hey, man, when it's time to take over, it's time to take over, and we're not afraid to jump in the trenches. And I couldn't be more proud than each and every one of you Renegades raised your arms when I asked for volunteers. Let's get straight into it. Pekarinen was 31 out of 33 in a Vezina versus Vezina contest at Bridgestone Arena last night. He took the loss, but I thought he played a really good and strong game. Tampa Bay, just a world-class team, and no doubt there's a reason why they're the defending Stanley Cup champion. Talk to me about the performance of Pekarinen last night.
Yeah, Rene, the last couple of times, actually, he's played Tampa. He's been remarkable out there. I think he stopped 39 out of 40 the last time they played, 31 out of 33 on Saturday night as well. Great performance. I mean, hasn't played in almost 2 weeks as well, so solid performance. Gets beat on two goals. I mean, classic technique by Colton on the first goal. Forehand, backhand, gets the goalie to open up side to side and tuck it five-hole. Beautifully done by him. Again, another, like you said, young guy that Tampa Bay seems to develop and turn into a massive goal scorer. So he beats Rene clean on that one. Not much he could do. Unfortunately, he had the double deflection on the second goal. No prayer on that one either. But Vasilevsky was the absolute man of the night. Just simply remarkable out there. And earlier in the season, we couldn't really say that there were moral victories for the Preds. And you don't want to use those terms, especially this time of year when you're in a playoff spot. But given the injuries, the opponent you're playing against, Stanley Cup champion, you can't really complain about the performance that night. They just got beat by the Vezina Trophy frontrunner right now. And then also a little bit of role reversal as well. Last time they played, Rene outshined Curtis McElhinney. The Preds were largely overmatched in that game, and the Preds ended up with the victory.
Mosh, let's talk about Vasilevsky for just a second, and you'll understand why I want to bring this up. Listen, he made 18 saves in the first period, and he put on display every single reason why he's a Vezina winner and every single reason why he's going to be a finalist and possibly the Vezina winner again this season. But the most important thing, after you talk about just how incredible the performance he put on at Bridgestone Arena was last night, talk to me about how this Nashville Predators go about beating Vasilevsky, because, Mosh, this isn't just about Tuesday night and finishing up the regular season series. This is about the potentiality of a seven-game series coming up, maybe in the first round of the playoffs against Tampa Bay, and the Nashville Predators will go nowhere if they cannot beat Vasilevsky. So start with last night and take me through how they beat him.
Yeah, he was, again, simply sensational last night. Whatever they threw at him, I mean, there were opportunities where he's throwing his glove up there and getting a piece of it to keep it out of the net. There's a couple chances there by Rocco Grimaldi in front of the net, in tight, 30 seconds of the game. You got a two-on-one with Granlund and stops him cold. Lots of chances. I think Rem Pitlick also showing some speed on that on his off wing there, building a wall and getting to the front of the net. Didn't seem like anything they did was going to beat Vasilevsky. Typically, you want to get him moving side to side. I think that's where he's a little bit more vulnerable as a big goaltender. He doesn't quite have the mobility of somebody like a UC Saros, who's, you know, side to side. His edge work is simply incredible. So that's probably the way you got to beat him, but you got to get traffic. We saw the one goal go in. Unfortunately, it did not count because Ellis corralled the puck a little bit too much and just snuck out of the zone by about an inch or two to nullify that goal. But that's how you do it. You get pucks towards the net, get deflections on him. That's pretty much the only way the puck was going to go in against him last night.
All right, Mosh, let's get into some of the box scores, some of the performances. Nice surprise for the home crowd last night at Bridgestone Arena. We knew yesterday afternoon that Ellis had come off of IR. The coach had teased that he might possibly get back in, but we weren't sure. Well, he did get back in the lineup. And Mosh, for a guy who missed 20 games, he looked pretty fresh and pretty solid out there. Skated 19:43 in time on ice, delivered two hits in the game, and I thought at least defensively looked responsible and had a goal taken off the board just an inch or two offsides there at the blue line. But talk to me about Ryan Ellis's return and what this means for the Nashville Predators going forward.
Yeah, certainly a nice surprise to see him back in the lineup, and it seems to be the motto for the Preds. When you go on injured reserve and you come back, you start playing much better than when you were before the injury started. So a solid performance, not as many minutes as you would think if he's got his legs under, but that'll come in time in the next few games or so. Once he gets his legs under, he'll start playing well over 20 minutes a night, as you would expect. But certainly looked good out there, didn't have any rust on him for 20-some-odd games that he had missed. That's a long time, especially for a defenseman, to get back in the groove of things and get some sort of chemistry back with any potential defensive partner that you'd have out there. So I like what I saw out of him. The goal, and again, the goal that was taken away, at that time, the Preds were out shooting Tampa 20-7 when that puck goes in. So that seemed to, you know, that puck goes in, you're talking about a possibly different result. That goal counts, but good for Ryan Ellison. Roman Josi just ate up a ton of minutes, almost 28 minutes. No other D-man even had 21 minutes out there. So it was very lopsided, playing Josi heavily, trying to get a goal to get the team back in the game. Unfortunately, just wasn't to be.
Mosh, I want to talk about two different aspects of the physical component of this game. I want to start with the negative, and then I want to move to the positive, because I was pretty disgusted with McCarron last night. The hit, it was a headhunt. I feel he's going to get suspended. He got the match penalty right there on the ice. They reviewed it. They confirmed it. Listen, I understand, you understand, and every one of those Renegades out there understand what it means to go out there, try to stir things up, send a message, make some things happen, make sure a potential future playoff opponent knows that you're out there. But for McCarron, this play was unnecessary, and it was downright stupid, and he was headhunting out there, and he's going to get suspended. Mosh, tell me what you think about that.
Well, clearly there's no place in the game for a hit like that. You just went down 3-0 with the empty net goal against. He made a very direct path to Gord and blindsided him. You can call it a shoulder if you want, but it was a dirty play. You can even see his elbow come up as he makes contact on that. Zero reason for it, especially given the circumstances when you're down very late and you're a fourth-line guy playing about 9 minutes of ice time the whole game with 30 seconds left to take a shot at one of their better players. You saw to a man that Tampa Bay bench up in arms as soon as he made contact, and rightfully so. They should be pissed off about that because you can't be doing that. Every Predators fan that was pissed off about Adam Ernie's hit on Benning a couple of nights ago, if you weren't pissed off about this, just as pissed off at McCarron for doing that, then you got to look at yourself in the mirror because this was filthy, headhunting play, no place in the game for it. And I would say at the very least, you're probably looking at a 3-game suspension.
Yeah, that's, I was figuring at minimum two. So the Preds will probably find themselves down yet another forward, but they have much better options, much better forwards, and I don't know if McCarron should have been in that game in the first place. They will need a physical presence against Dallas. There's no doubt about that. We'll flow into that once we get through this point. I want to talk about the positive side of the physical aspect of this game, Mostradamus, and I mentioned it. 15:39 of the third period. The Predators are down by two goals, and there's Kelly Yarncroak getting under the skin of the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's Ekholm, and there's the captain, Roman Josi, and the Nashville Predators were not backing down for a second from the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they might be Goliath, but David wasn't backing down for a second, and I love to see that. That is the type of playoff intensity you need to see out of the fellas, and I thought that they were bringing it last night on the physical side of the game, and you saw at other points of the game, the Preds on the offensive and defensive side of the ice, going to the net and patrolling the creases and bringing the physical element to the game. That's the positive side of the physical game. Talk about what they were doing last night that was so good.
Yeah, they weren't backing down. That's what I like to see, and that's something we did not see early on in the season. Even as recently as maybe a month ago, right when Josi got hurt against Dallas, he gets boarded heavily by Dallas. Nobody came to his defense. Same thing happened another situation against Dallas. He gets boarded twice on the same play. Nobody came to his defense as your captain. That was quite embarrassing, quite frankly, when this team was down and out. The injuries happened, though. The road trip happened, and things kind of came together. They became a little bit more bonded, I think, on that road trip. That's something that is underrated, really, when you have a long road trip like that. You'd almost prefer to have that early in the season to get the guys together and get them playing for each other. That tends to turn things around. I think when the Preds go on that CMA road trip every year in November, that team kind of tends to bring everybody together as a family. So love what I'm seeing out of them. That certainly was an element that was missing early on this season.
Absolutely agree with that 100%. And Mosh, want to give a stick taps real quick. One of our fantastic Renegades, a puck out there in the trenches, just hit us up on Twitter. Miranda's out there heading on home, as a lot of Renegades are, from their Saturday night out. Appreciate you, Renegade, all the great articles she wrote and all the time she's appeared on this show over the years. Hell, if she wanted to call in right now and give her opinions on the Preds, I have an open phone line. You know the number. Give me a dial. Why not? Mosh, well, I still got you for another minute or two before we get to Sean C. Smith, before we get to Brian Baston. Let's talk about the Dallas Stars, the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. Well, they've played each other just a couple of times over the last few seasons. There's no doubt about that. There is no love between these two teams. I expect it to be physical. I expect it to be ugly. And with the Dallas Stars looking to jump back into this thing and catch the Nashville Predators for a playoff spot, they have two opportunities left to do that. The first one tomorrow night, they're coming off a huge win versus the Florida Panthers, who dove in another light night. They do a great job of limiting the shots. So you tell me who's going to be in net tomorrow night for the Dallas Stars. I expect we'll get UC Saros for the Nashville Predators. Game 7 out of 8 of the regular season series between these two Central Division rivals. Mosh, give me all your notes. Give me all your thoughts about the Dallas Stars and the Nashville Predators tomorrow night.
Yeah, certainly it's going to be UC Saros for the Preds. The Stars is going to be a little bit more tricky because if Hudobin started, only faced 21 shots Saturday night against Florida. So you may see him again Sunday night, and we know how well he plays at Bridgestone Arena. He's a 7-1 record at Bridgestone Arena the last three seasons, so he's been absolutely dominant in Nashville. If indeed it's Ottinger, he's only played the Preds once this season. He gave up three goals on just 20 shots. Again, very light workload, but the Preds got three on him and top that off, scored two goals on three shootout attempts to get the victory in Dallas as well. So, but considering Dallas is chasing the Preds for the last playoff spot, got to think Hudobin gets the nod. A couple keys for the game tonight. Guys, play with the lead against Dallas. The Preds haven't held the lead in a game against Dallas in 192 minutes and 26 seconds of ice time against them. But they've beaten them three out of the last four games, all of them, of course, in extra time. So you figure it out. Keep it 5-on-5 is another big key. Dallas, yeah, we know about game one and game two. Overall, they're 11 out of 20 on the power play in the season series. That's a big reason why they haven't lost to the Preds in regulation, 3-0-3. So 9 out of 12 points against the Preds so far. The Preds want to keep them in the rearview mirror. They got to keep it 5-on-5.
And Mosh, no doubt the reason why John Hines went with Rene tonight, Saros tomorrow. He's hedging. He wants to beat the team that's below them in the standings. More important than beating the team above them in the standings. I look forward to this matchup. And man, I am just shocked when I see Hudobin 20 out of 21 in a victory against Florida. Those Panthers, they pile up shots on goal, and the Dallas Stars able to limit them to so few. I think that you're on to something. I think we see Hudobin versus Saros tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Mostradamus, fantastic hockey conversation, man. I can't believe you you jumped in the trenches with us this morning when I asked for volunteers for a midnight raid. You were the first one to throw that hand in the air, and you always have been there right by my side, leading the charge, my friend. I appreciate you so much. The people can find you on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, or they can listen to you on this radio show in the traditional second period of the 5 a.m. pregame show, or they can listen to you on these Prednek takeovers whenever it is that we jump in the trenches. Mosh, appreciate you so much. My friend, have a fantastic rest of your evening, and I hope you get some rest, man.
Charlie, I'll do that. Everybody, it's always a good time to talk Preds hockey, especially when they're playing like they are now.
Mastrodamus right there, bringing it strong. Absolutely outstanding. You've heard from Mastrodamus, the starting goaltender of Prednek Nation Radio. You've heard from the ultimate one, Miranda Martin, out there checking in on the roads, checking out what's going on outside in Prednek Nation. And we also have coming up next Sean C. Smith from ontheforecheck.com. He's got the intel you need to know. He talked to the coach a little bit earlier, and he's going to tell us everything that happened tonight between the Preds and the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's got notes, he's got thoughts, and I'll keep him on as long as I need to keep mom, because it's a Prednek takeover of Nashville Sports Radio, which means, well, we'll turn things back over when we feel like turning things back over. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Prednek Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Prednek Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Prednek Nation Radio. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. You've heard from Mastrodamus. You've also heard from the Ultimate One. You're hearing from me, your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. And Ryan Ellis just brought us back from break. Great for the Nashville Predators to have him back in the lineup. I have a feeling you're going to hear something come late Monday, early Tuesday about, well, you know, we didn't really want to go out there and start making moves for players because getting Ryan Ellis back in the lineup is just as good as making any kind of trade, and we didn't have to give anything up. I'm trying to prepare you to temper your expectations for the trade deadline coming up, people. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of excitement from the Nashville Predators side of things, but it is fantastic to see Ryan Ellis back in the lineup now. 22 games skated on the season. 2 goals, 7 assists, 9 points. Unfortunately, had a goal taken off the board for offsides in that game tonight at home against Tampa Bay, as the Preds fell 3-0 overall against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 7th of 8 regular season games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, unfortunately, the Nashville Predators are 1-6 against Tampa on the season. Here to talk to me about that game and to talk to you about all things Nashville Predators from ontheforecheck.com, he is Sean C. Smith. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. That's at SCSOTF. He's got the intel that you need to know. He's on the front lines, and he was talking to the head coach just a little bit ago. So I am looking forward to finding out everything that he's got in his notebook tonight. Sean, good evening, good morning. How are you?
Oh, Charlie, I'm doing great. It doesn't matter what time it is. I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. Renegades all knew as soon as the order was given that we were activating the trenches potentially 24 hours a day that a moment like this was coming, and it was coming quickly. And, Sean, so proud of you. You were one of the first to raise your hands to volunteer to jump in the trenches no matter what the time was going to be. Love you guys for jumping on these midnight raids. Now, you had an opportunity to talk to Coach Hines earlier about filling roster holes. Sean, talk to me about that, because this has been one of the most critical components of this Nashville Predators team, and honestly, their success and their rise in the standings the last couple of weeks. It's been all about filling the holes in the roster. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because Hines has a lot of decisions to make on how to fill those roles, because you're coming up with a new spot you've got to fill in almost every game, it seems, with these injuries that are just stacking up. And, you know, it's interesting that for him, he's kind of done away with the line blender you saw happening at the beginning of the year. I mean, this is a really good opportunity to switch things up and try different things, but he's really trying to focus on having consistency in these lines. So what he's doing is trying to keep the identity of the lines together. And he used the example when I spoke with him about the recently injured Matthew Olivier. So with Olivier out, you don't shuffle things around. You bring in a guy that can play a similar role. So that allows Sissons and Trennan to maintain that line's identity. So while McCarron came in and filled that role, last night, for example, you know, he can play the role that Olivier plays. Another example is how he's kept Halla and Cousins together. Now, that other spot has rotated a bit, but Halla and Cousins can maintain that line's identity. And, of course, they went the other night without that second winger. It was Thursday night in the 11-forward game. But last night they got Rem Pitlick, and that's a player who can fit that two-way role very nicely. But we can talk more about Rem Pitlick later.
Oh, and we are absolutely going to talk about Rem Pitlick. What a performance by him last night. We've been talking on this show a lot about what he can do. But let's get to that in just a second. Let's talk about the goaltending matchup last night. Vasilevskiy versus Rene, two Vezina winners. Man, we were treated to a performance last night by Vasilevskiy. It's unfortunate that the Nashville Predators were not able to beat him. But still, you've got to give your respect to a guy like that, putting up a performance like that, especially in the first period. And I want you to focus, Sean, on the goaltending of the Nashville Predators. Pekka Rene giving another good start against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That was a hell of a fight and a hell of an effort by him last night in that game. And also what UC Saros has done as of late. You saw some stats on the broadcast last night. He's right up there amongst the tops in the league. Sean, talk to me about how good goaltending, frankly, can and has saved this team.
Oh, well, you hear it all the time. You know, you hear a lot about good goaltending, and I think sometimes it's hard to really understand what exactly that means, because you'll hear that good goaltending makes a bad team look good, or good goaltending can save a bad night, or good goaltending can take you a long way in the playoffs. But, you know, perfect example of how that good goaltending can work, you can see on the ice tonight with the performance that Vasilevskiy put on. And, of course, he is the Vezina frontrunner, and you saw the full effect of what good goaltending can do. But you take a look at what you've seen out of Saros, and especially tonight out of Pecorine. I don't think that game was a situation where you saw the Lightning going absolutely lights out. I think Pecorine did a good job of keeping that game under control. I think, you know, you're looking forward to a game tomorrow with UC Saros in the net, and you're hoping, I guess you said, you know, he's hedging his bets and saying we're going to try to make sure we're beating the team that's behind us in the standings. So you're putting Saros in that situation to make sure that you're getting the best goaltending you have at that moment. But in a game like tonight against Tampa Bay, you know, final score was 3-0, but that was only two of those were on Pecorine, and quite frankly, only one of them I really count against him, because the other goal took a lot of weird bounces to get to where it needed to go. So it was one of those issues where you can control what you can control by sending the puck where you want it. But once it starts bouncing around, you know, that's how well can you track things? How quickly can you readjust? And if that puck takes two or more turns, and it's probably going to go in if it's on target. And I wouldn't really hold that one against Pecs at all. So that kind of goaltending performance is going to carry you a long way. And I think that really showed tonight, because you can call it a 3-0 game if you want. You can say that it was 2-0 with a goalie in the net. But I think it's really a 1-0 game if you consider how many of those pucks were stoppable by Pecorine.
If I was a neutral observer and not pulling for either of those teams, I would have been very excited to see that goaltending matchup last night. Two Vezina winners against each other, head-to-head. They both were very impressive in net last night. It was a great game to watch. It's just unfortunately that the Nashville Predators were not able to come out on top in this one. Sean, I need to hear from you about Rem Pitlick. I don't need to give you numbers, box scores, anything. All I have to say to you is Rem Pitlick was the most noticeable Nashville Predator on the ice for the majority of this game. Almost every time he took a shift, he did something that opened my eyes. We've been talking about him and what he could do and his capabilities for quite some time here on this show, but we saw it in full display last night at Bridgestone Arena. Talk to me about that and tell me your opinions on his performance.
You know, I saw Rem Pitlick play in person the first time. I want to say it was at like the Future Stars camp or the development camp they had before last season. And I felt like the most noticeable player on the ice even then was Rem Pitlick. He seemed to come into that camp just energized, ready to go, ready to prove that he was ready to make it to the NHL. He was hard on the puck. He was everywhere he needed to be. And ever since then, I felt like he was like all he needed was a shot to come in and show the team what he could do. Now, I'll tell you, been hoping for him to have a chance for a long time, and I really wanted to see him on Thursday night, but they rolled with 11 forwards. And I'm not really going to complain about it because the results of that game speak for themselves. But he got his chance tonight and played on the line, or last night, and he got on the line with Holla and Cousins in a spot that's been a fairly consistent spot for Rocco Grimaldi. Now, to me, watching for Media Row, he was the most noticeable player on the ice, just like you said. I was quite surprised to look after the game and see that he didn't show up on the stat sheet as much as I thought he would, but he was always in front of the net, challenging Vasilevsky, ready to put that puck in the back of the net. He had several solid chances to do it, but like we talked about good goaltending before, Vasilevsky put on an outstanding goaltending performance and stifled any chance Pitlick or, of course, anybody else on the team had of making it happen. And after the game, I used my opportunity with Coach Hines to ask him about Pitlick tonight. And Hines took that opportunity to praise Pitlick's speed, his tenacity, and his offensive aptitude. And in my opinion, and several others that I talked to tonight, Rem Pitlick made his case for keeping a roster spot, at least as long as the team is still in injury purgatory, he should be on the ice. Now, I would love to see what he can do on the first line, but he looked incredible on the third tonight.
He's got my vote to remain in the lineup at least tomorrow night against Dallas. The Nashville Predators are going to need some support at forward. Sean, I'm going to kind of feed you the same exact thing I gave Mastrodamas, the bad and the good when it came to the physical components of the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I want you to add to your comments or add to my comments. I think you know where I stand about the McCarron hit. It was headhunting. I feel he's going to be suspended. There's absolutely no place for it. And then I want you to speak on the positive side in the physical aspect of this game and how the Nashville Predators simply refused to back down from Goliath out there on the ice at Bridgestone Arena tonight. So start with McCarron and then cheer me back up by talking about the good side of the physical part of this game.
I think I can do that. So let's start with this. And you know, initially, again, up in Media Row, it looked like that was an out-of-control hit. And by the time I got home, I took the opportunity to watch it on TV, see a couple of different angles, and it didn't seem too different from what happened to Saros. But Niederreiter only got a $5,000 fine for that. So the appropriate penalties in this case were called in the game. But again, with 22 seconds left, they didn't impact the game. Those penalties didn't impact the game as much as if it had happened earlier in the game. So if he gets a suspension, I'm not going to complain too much because I think what happened to Saros should have resulted in a suspension. I also thought what happened to Yossi should have resulted in a suspension, and I thought what happened to Binning should have resulted in a suspension too. My biggest issue here is the timing. You know, you have nothing to gain by doing this with 22 seconds left and everything to lose, because if you make that contact and you get suspended, now your coach has to fill your spot, and you're already trying to fill tons of spots on a nightly basis. Even worse, you've got to play this team again in a few days, and you may have a 7-game series against them in the first round of the playoffs. That kind of bad blood from 22 seconds left in this game can spill over into a few more games, and it would be much better to play a game against Tampa Bay where you didn't have to worry about them getting retribution for what you pulled on them. So, you know, if he's out, I'd look for Tanner Jeannot to step into his place. He's riding an 8-game goal streak in Chicago, and he's a big boy, and you're going to need some big boys for Dallas. But the reality is, you know, I've heard the term David and Goliath thrown around, and I don't know how much of a David you're going to be if you still have Olivier on your team, because I think he's kind of the embodiment of that physical edge that the team's been playing with. But with him out of the lineup, yeah, you're definitely looking at a team that's a little bit more of a David versus Goliath in that case, and they didn't. They refused to back down to him before that hit. You had a lot of rough stuff going on with Nick Cousins getting under people's skin. You saw Ekholm ready to have a go with, I think it was Sergachev he wanted to peek.
He was,
up, but
yeah.
It didn't happen. Yeah, so, you know, realistically here, it didn't look like, even though the team probably was Goliath, they didn't appear to be too much bigger, because Cousins was really under their skin. He went over, he started jawing at their bench, a lot of them started jawing back, and, you know, the Predators were losing at that point, and if what he was saying wasn't really bothering them, they would have just been quiet because they could have pointed up at the scoreboard and shut his mouth, but obviously he'd said something or gotten onto them enough that they were ready to go back at them. When you get a team like that kind of in their emotions a little bit, you kind of gain an advantage when that happens. So, you know, maybe with a few healthier players or some of the other guys who are known for a little bit more physical stuff coming back into the lineup, hopefully soon, you'll see a little bit of a different look next time the two teams meet.
John, I'm going to miss Olivier. I think you are. I think all of us are out there. We've enjoyed watching his play. I think he's become the spirit animal leading this team, and the resurgence of this Predators team has come on with his physical play and that fourth line leading the way. So, Sean, this is a very important question to me. Dallas is looking to come in here. They're a physical team, and these two teams do not like each other. I think that Olivier would have been a big help for the Nashville Predators in this game. So, without Olivier, without possibly McCarron, without all of the other injured players, how did the Nashville Predators beat this Dallas Stars team on the second night of back-to-backs?
Well, like we just talked about, you've seen that the whole team can commit to playing a hard physical game, even the smaller guys. But you are, like we mentioned, missing some guys who can really play against Dallas the way you need to play against Dallas. So you're going to have to rely on the players that you have to play a smart physical game, not just a bruiser mentality here. We've got to be smart about what we're doing. So you want quick transitions through the neutral zone, and you need to be willing to go into the corners, but don't make that the only game plan. You know, they're healthy guys with speed, and you kind of want to lean on them to get down the ice quickly and try to get set up in the offensive zone for quick strikes against Dallas. The defensive core can be a little more physical than the forwards can, so I'd be a little more willing to venture into the corners when defending when I'm on the attack. You want to keep your head up, of course. Don't put yourself in a bad position to get stapled to the boards. And past that, you're going to have to rely on something we've already talked about tonight, and that's good goaltending from UC Saros to stop anything that comes his way and hope that some pucks bounce the way the Predators need them to score some goals and get on the boards.
He's Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck.com. We've got 14 games left to break down this season. I look forward to talking to him about each and every one of those here in the trenches during traditionally the third period during the 5 a.m. live pregame show. But during Prednik takeovers, I'll get him in the trenches. I'll extend his minutes and I'll take whatever I can get out of him. Another renegade that raised his hand to volunteer the second I suggested a midnight raid here on Nashville Sports Radio. Can't thank him enough. From OnTheForeCheck.com, Sean C. Smith. He's brought you the intel that you need to know direct from the coach to you in the trenches. Sean, appreciate you and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Anytime you need me, Charlie, I'll be ready to go.
Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck right there. Brian Baston's coming up next from OnTheForeCheck. He's got one big stat to close this thing out. Yeah, we're going a little bit long, but that's what we need to do here on this Prednik Takeover in the Trenches. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sarnia. You have heard from Mostradamus. You heard from Sean C. Smith, and you have heard from the ultimate one, Brian Baston, with one big stat from the Renegade Analytics Desk. He is up next right here on Prednik Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Prednik Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
Catch one of Music City's longest-running radio shows devoted solely to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Every game day morning at 5, Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier and the Renegades of Puck, Nashville Sports Radio, and Prednik Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Rem Pillick of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Prednik Nation Radio. Rem Pitlick bringing us back into the trenches from break. And if last night's performance against Tampa Bay is any indication of what he is going to do for this Nashville Predators franchise, well, you'll be hearing that rejoin and drop for many, many years to come here in the trenches on Prednik Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Sean C. Smith, last period, outstanding conversation about all things Nashville Predators hockey. He brought you the intel straight from the head coach to you in the trenches. Mostradamus broke down everything that happened between that incredible performed between Vasilevsky and Rene in a Vezina face-off last night at Bridgestone Arena. Also talked about the box score. I've got you all caught up. I've got you previewed. We've got you recapped. We've got all the opinions, all the analysis, and all that good stuff. Let's close this midnight raid out by going to the Renegade Analytics Desk, because after all, yeah, I need to see his charts. He's got the numbers that I need to know. And if I need to talk to him, I can find him on Twitter at Brian Baston, or I can look at his work at OnTheForeCheck.com. Brian, welcome in. Appreciate you jumping in with us. Bring the people your one big stat.
All right. Well, I got a little bit of an extra one with some background. So we'll talk about this as we've got all the time in the world right now. So as we you know, unfortunate that we ended the nice run with this loss against Tampa. But you know what? I'll take a loss against a team like that, especially again the first half of a doubleheader and probably the less important game. As opposed to playing Dallas, who is below us in the standings, but this is go time now. There's no more time for
you know, gimme losses or things that, you know, like, oh, well, we didn't play well enough. We have to play harder. If this team is serious about being in the playoff hunt, they've got to put, you know, buckle everything down. Doesn't matter who's injured, and they've got to give 100%. And, you know, I'll say, even judging from the effort, though, tonight, I think they're going to be able to pull that off. But let me tell you a little bit about how that path is going to be very, very perilous for the Nashville Predators. So, as we've talked, their opponent is the Dallas Stars tomorrow, and they've only played 39 games, which gives them effectively, you know, two or three games in hand on pretty much every team in the league. And their path to the playoffs is just as clear. In fact, they are the only team that is below them on the standings right now, that's below Nashville in the standings, where they, even if Dallas, Nashville won out, they would just barely edge out the Dallas Mavericks. Oh, Dallas Mavericks. I apologize. The Dallas Stars. Because they have to get 30 points, a 30-point swing, either 2 points from a win or 2 points lost by Dallas to be able to clinch a better record. And seeing they only have 28 possible points left, they, again, it would require those head-to-head matchups, and those are going to be very, very important. As it goes with Chicago, so, again, Nashville, we know that Nashville's run this week is going to be very hard. They've had a game against Dallas tomorrow. They've got Tampa on Tuesday, and then they follow that up with two games at Carolina next week on Thursday and Saturday. Those are games that, again, I think we said this earlier in the year, this is a four-game stretch that I'd be happy coming out with 4 points out of, but they've got to, you know, they're going to have to keep up because Chicago, who's right behind them in the standings right now, has a game on Monday at Columbus and then two games at Detroit this week. And so, again, they're going to come in, and there's a very good chance that by the time that Nashville comes into that final three-game stand, a couple weeks against the Blackhawks, they're going to have one at Bridgestone Arena, then two in Chicago. Chicago may be leading in the standings by then, just by virtue of who they play. And all that time when Nashville and Chicago are revving up to play each other, Dallas is going to be playing Detroit four times in a row. Starting with that same night on Monday, April 19th, they're going to be playing Detroit four times in a row. And so, again, they're going to be making up those games. They have more to play than anybody else. But while Nashville and Chicago are duking it out and, you know, hurting each other, basically, Dallas has a free rein to, you know, probably pull out three or four of those games against Detroit. And so it's not going to be an easy road. And it is right now, again, the magic number, you know, so to say, is how many points does Nashville need to clinch a playoff spot. Right now they have to beat the next closest team in the standings since they sit in fourth place. And so that is Dallas. So right now I know we're worried about Chicago. They're only a couple points back in the standings, but Dallas is a looming threat, and even though they missed those games early in the season, they're coming right back, and it's going to be difficult. Now, I did say, and you said something earlier, Charlie, that made me chuckle because I kind of worked my whole my second part of this stat all around that same phrase, but trade deadline's coming up, and, you know, I'd imagine at this point that even though with the recent success, teams aren't really looking for the Nashville Predators to go out there and go bring in a high-powered free agent because I don't think they're buyers quite yet, but they still may be sellers, but again, there's one guy that they could bring back that they're hoping for that's currently injured that would be just like bringing in a free agent. You know, I think what you said was David Poile saying, oh, we added this player for free and didn't have to give up anything. Well, I'm going to tell you about this player, and let's see if you can pick that up. It's going to be a very important player to the Nashville Predators. Currently, right now, he's sitting at third on the team in goals above replacement, which is a metric designed by the fellows over at evolvinghockey.com. It's very good. You should check them out. Basically, what it looks to do is to isolate the different parts of the game and show about their individual impact, whether somebody else is on the ice with them or a bunch of random people. It's going to take their impact. And this player is third on the team in goals above replacement, which is pretty impressive because he sits one above both Roman Josi and Mattias Ekholm. And so that's very impressive. Now, this player, again, has been a terror in all the phases of the game, but again, he does most of his damage on special teams. And in fact, this guy is second in the NHL, not just rookies, but in the NHL in goals per 60 on the power play with 5.2. He's also backing that up with 9.5 points per 60 on the power play. And again, this might be giving away who it is pretty easily, but it's pretty impressive when this guy's got a 31% shooting percentage. And if you take away just the outright misses from the net, he's still shooting 28%. So it's pretty crazy that this guy can fire at the net. And if it gets onto the goalie, there's a strong chance it's going in. So, again, and, you know, it's very simple. But, you know, we're all looking at Philip Forsberg, and his absence has been devastating, I think. He's brought really great effort to both ends of the ice. But I think if this team's going to make it through this playoff run and actually get themselves a spot, you know, because I don't think any of the top three spots are going to be available for Nashville to try to sink into. They're going to need Elie Tolvanen back, because Elie Tolvanen is having a breakout season. He's I think he's qualified to be a Calder finalist at the very least. I don't think he's going to, I'm not sure he's going to be able to catch up, but he's having one heck of a season, probably a better season than most people had hoped for. And they're going to need him back, because the stretch does not get much easier. After those games against Chicago, they got two against Florida. They got another one against Dallas, and then two more against both Columbus and Carolina, which are not going to be easy games. And again, that last, the very last game of the regular season against Carolina at home, we might be watching the end of Pecorino's regular season career. And so I sure hope that they can get everything together. They're heading to a playoff spot, so it's not too bittersweet. And they can beat Carolina on that last game to give Rene the send-off that he deserves.
He is Brian Baston from OnTheForeCheck.com. He's got the numbers you need to know and the charts you need to see. If you step to him in that digital realm, you will be tested. So make sure you bring your best, and you're following him at Brian Baston. Appreciate you jumping in the trenches so much, my friend. Great hockey conversation. Outstanding stats this evening.
Well, I appreciate that, and I will say that I did have to do a little last-second switch because Sean did guess what my original thing was, plan was going to be to get this team ready for the playoffs, and that was to trade for Freddie Gaudreau. But I changed it last second, I suppose, because I guess that may not be realistic, but I can always hold out hope, right?
Well, listen, I'm always in support for trading for Freddie Gaudreau, Brian. You've always got a willing participant and partner on that topic here. You know that.
That's how I know I'm home, buddy. That's how I know I'm home.
From 189 to another, my friend, I always want Freddie Gaudreau in the lineup. After all, Brian, he is the only player in franchise history with a Stanley Cup final game-winning goal. As a matter of fact, he's so good he's done it two times. The only player in franchise history to have such an honor. Brian Baston, appreciate you jumping in the trenches. Thank you so much.
No problem. You have a great night, and hey, let's do this again.
Absolutely. We'll do this whenever it is that we need to, whenever it is that we feel like, and we'll go on as long as we have to. If we need to go on and we need to take over the station for the entire night, we will do so. There are more Renegades out there than you could ever understand. We will have plenty of willing participants to jump in the trenches. When I asked for volunteers, every one of those Renegades, a puck threw their hands straight in the air. I didn't even have a hesitation. What a great team that I get to lead. The Renegades of Puck. Fantastic job by each and every one of them. For Sean C. Smith, for Mastrodamas, for Brian Baston, for the Ultimate Predator, for Kay Park, for Rebirth Sports, for Stripe Design Print, and for each and every one of you Renegades of Puck for jumping in the trenches, whether it's a takeover, whether it's live at 5 on game days, or whether you're checking us out on those replays. Keep passing the word. Keep spreading the show around. Building the trenches 1 foot at a time, one listener by one listener, calling all Renegades. We're going to need each and every one of you in the trenches with us. I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sunday. This has been a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. Stick taps, love, respect. Those are the three most important things to us here in the trenches. We now return you to something that isn't nearly as good as what you just heard.